Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast. We're online at soundcheck.org.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Singer-songwriter Liam Thynne is from New Zealand, but his new album, The Nihilist, due out at the beginning of May, took shape in Brooklyn, where he's been living these last few years. You can catch him actually honing his new batch of songs every Tuesday in Brooklyn in March at a residency of concerts. But today, Liam Thynne and his band are here in the Soundcheck studio, and they're going to give us a preview of some of that new material. Here is Liam Thynne and his band performing a live version of a song called Snug As.
When you hung me up, when my heart dried out, just like the fruit on a windowsill, taking us back to the city, and your mind. I'm a hopeless sack, and I'm sleeping out in the wilderness with my fleeting thoughts by the fire. You know, you know, you know. Now we're snug as fuck in a Sunday suit.
That is music from Liam Thynne, originally from New Zealand, but now based here in New York. That song is called Snug As, and you'll find it eventually on Liam Thynne's new record, The Nihilist, which is due out in May, but we're getting a bit of a preview of it here in the Soundcheck studio. Liam Thynne singing and playing electric guitar. Good to see you with a full band this time.
Good to be here with a full band.
Eliza Jane Barnes playing electric guitar, some backing vocals. CeCe Herbert on keyboard, some backing vocals. Matt Eccles on bass, and brother Elroy Finn on drums. Last time you were here, Liam, you were doing the one-man band thing with the looping and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
In the making of this record, was it a band record from the beginning, or did it start with you and the loops and the tracking and all that kind of stuff?
It started as a band thing. I mean, we moved to New York after touring my last record for a while, and all of us were kind of, at that point it was just EJ and Elroy and a friend of mine, Joel, playing bass, and we all set up camp in Greenpoint and I started writing songs alone, but I started writing songs with these guys, and I intended the whole thing to be a really quite live performed record, and we kind of embarked that way and actually almost finished a record very quickly with it sounding quite simple. And then it didn't really capture that sort of atmosphere that I was getting on some of the demos, and I had this vision for what I wanted this record to be, and it was a lot more
nihilist.
Yeah, and actually I've never heard it called nihilist, and I thought that was almost a Freudian slip, but I thought it was nihilist, but I could be wrong. I think there's no you know, I've heard different ways. I've heard nihilist as well, as it's spelt. But nihilist, God, that's the thing I might have thought twice.
But the thing is, as titles go, it's a bit of a misnomer, because this does not sound like a very nihilist record. This is some of the most kind of, you know, rocking and raving music that you've done, it seems.
I guess my interpretation of nihilism isn't particularly as dark and as morbid as a lot of people's. I mean, so a lot of people don't seem to know even what it is that I've talked to, and then the people that do know what it is seem to have been brought up maybe with it being a bit more of a religious connotation or a spiritual connotation where someone believes in absolute nothing, and it's a big black vortex of nothingness. And
so explain to me your kinder, gentler nihilism.
Well, I guess I wouldn't say it's gentler, but it's more a lot this idea of an extreme skepticism, and that maybe that, you know, what we've been brought up to believe and what we're conditioned to sort of take for reality, and, you know, in this day and age, is potentially completely untrue. You know, I think we're all almost in agreement with that these days, no matter where you sit.
Anyone
you know,
who's seen The Matrix.
There you go, yeah. I mean, that, you know, that opened people's eyes up to possibilities. But I think in general, you know, what we're seeing on TV or what we're sort of being taught from parents and grandparents is actually in some ways potentially a full reality. It's a facade of what, you know, what's really going on up there. And I don't think we really know what's going on. So I like the idea of exploring that in music.
Yeah. Now, as part of my job, I have to wade through all kinds of press crap. That's the official term for it in the industry, press crap.
Yeah.
That comes with new records like yours. And I never know how much of that is, you know, fact and how much is some alternate version of reality.
Yep.
The stuff that comes with your record claims that on this album you played 67 instruments.
Yeah. It's a good number.
It is a good number. Now, are they counting like every different guitar as a separate instrument?
See, I'm glad you're the first person that's seen it for what it is. Yes. I think this kind of came from, I've been asked, especially since the one-man band kind of thing, I get asked a lot, like, how many instruments do you play? And early on in my solo career, I kind of just pulled random numbers out as a bit of a joke, and it started getting quoted back to me, and they started getting embellished. My sort of little white lie got embellished without me even knowing. Uh-huh. And I started having people telling me that I was playing 50 instruments a night on stage, and, you know, where did you learn all these things? And I went with it. But then this time I kind of thought, well, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to count exactly how many pieces of equipment, you know, that I used as an instrument that I used on this record. But like you said, I mean, like, there's no definition of what that really means, and a lot of them were guitars and a lot of them were synth patches. A lot of them were even just guitar effects, because, to be honest, this record doesn't maybe have as many, you know, weird and, you know, like, world instruments on it. It's more that I kind of was trying to make new sounds of new instruments and new sounds that have never been heard before through the idea of using guitar, you know, pedals as instruments themselves, and reprocessing things and replaying things out speakers and capturing them in different ways. And
There are some pretty, you know, there are sounds where you're like, is that a keyboard? What is that? Is that a guitar? So,
well, it's probably about four. That counts for four instruments, that sound.
What about the story what about the story that this record is basically a nocturnal project, and that you basically did all the work between the hours of sunset and sunrise the next morning?
That's true. I mean, we tracked a lot of it.
This is not very nihilist. Everything turns out to be, all the received
really?
Information turns out to be true.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I guess that when it's a solo record and it's Liam Finn, the nihilist, it makes it sound like I am one. And I don't consider myself one because I believe that there is more than nothing. But I guess what wrote these songs, and because I was up during the night, was more out of the fact that we're at my studio. I've got this little studio room now, which is really awesome, but there's trucks outside all day going, so I kind of had to work in the evening and through the night, and I quite liked it. It was quite romantic, but it got me in a very strange headspace in this kind of alternate reality of expressing kind of, you know, deep, dark fears and fantasies and thoughts through imagining them playing out over in Manhattan as this kind of subconscious-like dimension that I could see out my window. And it kind of, you know.
So you're in Greenpoint, but your windows are facing across the East River into Manhattan.
Exactly, yeah. So it was quite a psychedelic place to be. So I guess I explored, you know, song ideas and themes that I never really felt comfortable with, or at least, you know, you got to find new things to write about each time. And this time I was, you know, through trying to sort of inhabit different characters, which in some ways took me over and took my life over a bit, maybe too much. But the nihilistic thing was more so came from one song where I kind of was imagining this character who is a nihilist, who completely is just every step he takes is that's all that exists, is that you know, and he is quite not probably a particularly good person, but you know, and then that's where it all kind of stemmed from. And I got into this idea of, I don't know, it's more political nihilism. You know, I've looked it up. I've done my research. You know, I've been on the Wikipedia page.
Right. And you just got to learn how to pronounce it. That's all.
So you think it's nihilist?
I've always heard it as nihilist. Plus, isn't it like Nietzsche or somebody like that?
I'll keep saying Nile, but that means nothing.
Yeah.
But Nietzsche was...
Well, in Latin, nihil.
Nihil.
Means nothing.
Right.
And the pronunciation of the original Latin root is nihil.
Oh, well, I mean, you learn something new every day. Yeah. And I better get...
High school Latin, man. It never goes away.
Well, that's really strange, because I've had a lot of people say it wrong, but I've also had a lot of people say it the way I thought it was. But, you know, we'll just...
Well, there are still people who say veni, vidi, vici, which is wrong.
You say tomato.
I say weeny, weedy, weeky, which sounds stupid, but that's apparently how classical Latin was pronounced.
Right.
So, there you go.
And banana? Oh, what is that is?
Why, what do you say? Banana?
No, banana.
Tell me about Ocean Emmanuel, this next song you're going to do.
Well, actually, this one was quite a collaborative effort with Elroy and with Joel, who played bass on most of the record. And it was actually the first song we wrote for this record, with the idea that I think someone got in touch and said they're looking for the title track for the last Twilight film. And we thought, we'd just moved and we just got the studio space, and we're like, let's try and make a vampire-y submission, just because it was a good project and it kind of made us get something done in a day. And I had this riff and this chorus for a long time, and it seemed quite dark and moody and kind of like vampire-y. So we've just embarked on the song, finished it in a day, and we're really excited about it, and almost felt a bit weird submitting it for something that we weren't necessarily fans of. You know, I mean, I've never seen the film, so I can't comment.
Me neither.
but they didn't get accepted, thank God. And so we were like, good.
Because
we get
what
to
would
it.
I have done with all that money?
Yeah. It would have made
my nihilism would have been tested to the limit.
But anyway, so it's become the first track on the record, and the record does have kind of a sort of vague chronological kind of order to it, and at least within the story of it as well. So, yeah, so it was a good leading track, and it's one of, you know, it seems like the one that if someone says play me a track off your record, I quite often put that one on because it's quite a good way to ease you into this new sound.
All right.
Yeah.
The record is from my guest Liam Finn. Let's hear another live performance. The album is due on May 6th. I will probably continue to call it The Nihilist when Liam is not here, but since he's my guest, I'll say Nihilist for the moment. Liam Finn and the band performing live on Soundcheck. Here is a song called Ocean Emmanuel. Thin and his band live on Soundcheck with a song called Ocean Emmanuel, which will appear on the new record called either The Nihilist or The Nihilist, depending on whether you're Liam or correct. The residency is, as I mentioned earlier, every Tuesday night in Brooklyn at Union Pool. Full month residency with some of the new songs from the forthcoming record. They're playing for us today in the Soundcheck studio, and here is a real barn burner from the new record. This one is called Burn Up the Road.
Thank you.
Burn Up the Road, the name of that song. Liam Thynne, the singer and songwriter and guitarist, with Eliza Jane Barnes on guitar and vocals, CeCe Herbert playing keyboards, Matt Eccles on bass, Elroy Finn behind the drum kit, and once again getting a chance to hear some new songs from Liam Thynne, making a return appearance here in the Soundcheck studio with the full band. The album that he's calling The Nihilist comes out on May 6th. All of these songs are on it. And Liam, you said before that there was a kind of a chronology to the record. So is there like an actual narrative going through it?
There is. I originally sort of had this whole story painted out in my head, and I was going to try and write it down, but then it just came out dreadfully dry and serious sounding. And I don't think that the album is that dry and serious. But, I mean, it was more along the lines of this, you know, like I spoke about the imagining Manhattan as a subconscious dimension where kind of anything, this whole world's inside of us playing out constantly. And I think that that's what affects our day-to-day life and why we have gut feelings and why we have, you know, good days and bad days and the so-called waking up on the wrong side of the bed and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So I guess, something that's always fascinated me and I thought was a kind of a nice way to, in some ways, detach yourself from the personal aspect of writing songs as a singer-songwriter, but in turn I think it kind of came out more personal than ever because it sort of voiced things that I wouldn't have felt comfortable voicing otherwise.
Huh. That's interesting because the album ends with a song called Wrestle With Dad.
And it's also called The Nihilist, apparently, so I'm really like letting out some pent-up...
Now, for you and your brother Elroy behind the drum kit there, I mean, you guys grew up with a famous dad, Neil Finn of Split Enz and Crowded House, and your uncle Tim, also from Split Enz. So your dad and his brother in a band together, now here you are with your brother in a band together.
Yeah.
Is that something you've had to wrestle with, this kind of legacy of, you know, music in the family, and maybe it was expected of you, or...
Maybe. I mean, I guess it was a bit more, you know, the song Wrestle With Dad was a little bit more tongue-in-cheek from my end as far as what the preconceptions of what this life has been like or whatever. And, I mean, it's not something that I've ever really felt that frustrated or like it's been a struggle. But at the same time, the longer it goes on and the more that...
The longer what goes on? That he's your dad?
The longer that it goes on, that you know, people will always speculate what that's like, and it'll always be asked about, whether it gets asked about in a positive light because people go, it's a great thing, or I guess when people ask the question of, I guess it must be hard with the expectation of this, or you must have felt, I guess they're the questions that I start going, well, no, not really, because I don't know anything different. I mean, I was brought up this way, and I feel very lucky to have grown up around music and stuff, but I think everyone at the end of the day is in the same camp and got the same... I might have had a lot more insight into what... You know, the funny thing was, I mean, I saw him have a very successful career, so if anything, it would have taught me, compared to my career, because I've had a very different experience, and not that it's been unsuccessful, but it's been a very different experience from him, so... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a funny one. It is a fascinating thing, but it's also, it's just my reality. And, you know, we're talking about realities and unrealities and stuff like that. And so Wrestle With Dad is my reality in a different reality.
Well said, I finish parsing that sentence.
Yeah, yeah.
Liam Finn's been with us here in the Soundcheck studio with his band. Their residency is every Tuesday night. In the month of March at Union Pool in Brooklyn. You'll have a chance to hear him and the band working out these new songs in the run-up to the release of the album on May 6th. And, Liam, it's been great seeing you again.
Yeah,
and
thanks
hearing
for having me.
Band. Thanks a lot.
Cheers.
This is Soundcheck. Thanks for listening. Stay connected by subscribing to the Soundcheck podcast on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and download the new WNYC mobile app for free. See you next time. I'm John Schiffer.